Life is not always easy. Sometimes your microphone is not on. There we go. Sometimes it seems especially hard in winter, which is often cold, gray, and gloomy. When life gets bumpy, we can hold hope for one another. That's what the choir just sang. When we offer our own light and warmth to one another, we assure one another that no one is alone, that we are all connected. Together, we keep the flame of love alive. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. The holiday season is underway. Tonight is the last night of Hanukkah. Solstice is coming up, so are Christmas and Kwanzaa. My friend who is in Thailand right now sent me these photos. They just celebrated Lori Krathong, a three-day festival of floating lights during which people send lit flower rafts down the river and paper lanterns into the sky. There's a lot of joy and beauty to be found in this time of year. But if you listen to advertisements and Hallmark cards, you might think that you are supposed to be constantly happy all the time throughout the whole holiday season. And you might feel like something's wrong with you if you are not totally happy all of the time. But that is not true. We are human beings. In any given moment, in every given month, on any given day, we can feel a whole bunch of different emotions. Happy, sad, angry, silly, calm, worried, disappointed. That's normal and okay, even during the holiday season. To underscore this point, I want to share with you one of my very favorite books, Happy Hippo, Angry Duck. Here we go. Hello, little person. How are you today? Is your mood quite terrific or only okay? Are you happy as a hippo, or angry as a duck, maybe sad as a chicken? Can you sadly say cluck, cluck? Everyone sadly say cluck, cluck. Very nice. Are you grumpy as a moose, or excited as a dog, worried as a rabbit, contented as a frog? Perhaps like a pig, you are sweetly amused. Or perhaps, like a cow, you are completely confused. You might feel that somehow you've lost all your fizz. Or you're frazzled, like a frazzled thing. I'm not sure what that is. I bet a lot of people feel like this during the holidays. Yeah? Yeah. Well, I hope you are happy, but if you are not, you have friends who will help you. We like you a lot. And a difficult mood is not here to stay. Everyone's moods will change day to day. Unless you're that duck. He's always this way. Whatever emotions you feel over the course of the holiday season, please remember that you are welcome here as your whole selves. Whatever you are feeling, you can talk with us about it. Talk with Faye or Anna, your Sunday school leaders, or your ministers. There are lots of people here who care about you. We will hold you through the hard times and celebrate with you in the happy times. For now, you can follow your adult leaders.
One of the many things I enjoy about coming to this church is the time with the children. And I can't always see them from where I sit in the congregation, but I can hear the voices and the joy that they bring with them every day. It brings back so many memories of our two sons. At this time of the year, they would get so excited. For 10 years, we held a cul-de-sac open house for all of our neighbors and the families in the street. There were about 15 young children in those families, and for some unknown reason, our house was singled out each year by a special visitor. The doorbell would ring. Everyone would look around and think, who could that be? All the neighbors are already here. Then from the front hall, we'd hear some bells ringing and a loud ho, ho, ho. Santa and Mrs. Claus would come and share some songs with all the children. And before they left, Santa opened his sack and had a special gift for each child. I could still hear the cries of joy. However, eventually, all those children grew up. Our sons both moved out and had other places to be. Santa no longer visited. I found this time of year lost most of its luster. It was just Sharon and me. It's just not the same when the boys aren't there in the morning. Our youngest son was married just over a year ago. Our oldest son recently moved in with his girlfriend. So maybe someday in the not-so-distant future, we will again hear the joyous sound of children in our home. In the meantime, I come to church to hear the excited voices of the children and raise my spirits by connecting with you in song, meditation, and fellowship. Through this, my sense of hope is rekindled.
Please join in the spirit of prayer and meditation. Breathe in, breathe out. The holiday season isn't always merry and bright for everyone. Some among us long for holidays of years gone by, when kids were young, or when they themselves were children and the season still held a sense of wonder. For some among us, this time of year brings unhappy memories of holidays gone by. Few childhoods were perfect, and holidays sometimes exacerbated what was difficult. Some among us are feeling lonely, disconnected, unloved. Some among us are grieving a loss, and the grief is made more stark by the joyful festivities everywhere. For some, it is a stressful time of year. Financial pressure, difficult family dynamics, the strain of managing addictions. For some, the stress is simply about having too much to do and not enough time to do it, with an extra dose of guilt for any unmet holiday obligation. Some among us have all the things that are supposed to make this season joyful, family, friends, a comfortable home, but there is something inside, a mood, an anxiety, a gloominess that pulls them down. I should be happy. Why am I not happy? It is right and good to bring all of these feelings here into this sacred space. Here, in this moment, you are relieved of any pressure to put on a brave face, to manufacture smiles you don't feel. Our Unitarian Universalist faith is broad enough, strong enough, to hold all of our human experience, the hard as well as the good. For this meditation, for this service on Winter Blues, I invite you, if you wish, to participate in a silent ritual of communal lament. You may keep your eyes closed for now. I will lead you through the two parts. You may join in or opt out as you wish. We begin with a moment of silence during which I invite you to sit with any sadness or difficult feelings you may be holding this holiday season. If this is a good year for you, out of compassion for your fellow congregants participating in this ritual, I invite you to think back on a time in your life, if there is one, when you were struggling. Call it to mind. Where were you? What was going on? Whether past or present, sit with your lament for a while. Let yourself feel whatever you feel. Notice how the feelings manifest in your body. Notice what images or phrases or song lyrics come to mind. Whatever is, let it be. and keep breathing. Now we gently shift to the second part of our meditation. Consider the lament you are holding now or that you remember. If a fellow congregant were to offer you words of comfort or encouragement, what would you want them to say to you? In your sadness or distress, what message would you want to hear? When you are ready, write those words on the blue piece of paper that was on your seat when you arrived. If you need a paper or pencil, raise your hand high, and an usher will bring you what you need. These words of comfort will be collected and redistributed among you. If you put words of comfort into the basket as you leave the sanctuary, I will invite you to take from that basket the words of comfort someone else wrote. You may also want to copy down your own words on your own order of service. Then you will have two sets, words from your fellow congregant and words from your own still small voice within. Again, the question is, when you consider your own struggles, what message would you want to hear? What words of comfort or encouragement would you want someone to say to you? As you write, Nick will play about a minute of piano music, then the ushers will collect your words as the choir sings. Let's begin. One of my favorite bumper stickers says, "I used to have a handle on life, but it broke." Life can be hard. Bad things happen. From little frustrations and annoyances to big, awful, terrible things. A friend and I used to debate about whether bad things happen for a reason. She believed that everything does happen for a reason. She had a sense that there's some mysterious benevolent force bringing order to the universe. I was less optimistic. Surprise, surprise. I thought life was probably random. Bad things just happen. Sometimes the cause is human, sometimes it's nature, but I thought it unlikely that any one thing was controlling it, benevolent or otherwise. My friend and I realized through our discussions that in the end, it doesn't really matter whether bad things happen for a reason or not. Bad things happen, and our task is to figure out how to cope with that reality. She looks for the hidden goodness in the plan. I try to find something redeeming, something good to hold on to, despite dire circumstance. Last week, Faye and Reverend Jane told the story of Pandora's urn. Recall that inside the urn, mixed up with all the gloom and pain and suffering, was a little glimmer of hope. When bad things happen, whether we think they happen for a reason or not, our challenge is to find the little glimmer of hope that will help us go on. When life is hard, where do you find hope? I've heard some of you say that though the state of the world has been getting you down in past years, you have recently felt hopeful about some changes in our government. I can see it in your faces. You perk up and say things like, "I feel like Canada is coming back to being Canada again. The Canada that we used to be known for. Tolerant, progressive, socially responsible." This week, as I was listening to CBC Radio, I couldn't help feeling a bit of a heart-swelling hope as I heard the voices of Syrian refugees in Toronto reuniting with their family members. I know it was a bit of manipulative journalism and politics, but I totally teared up when I heard about Trudeau welcoming the new arrivals with warm winter coats. Those are examples from the global scene. Where do you find hope in your personal life? There are those two spiritual practices that I'm always touting, attention and gratitude. Not the forced, you should be grateful, count your blessings kind of gratitude, but the gentle gratitude that can emerge when one grounds oneself in attention. You focus on the present moment, taking in everything as it is, noticing shapes, lines, sounds, temperature, breathing. And after a while, you ask yourself, is there anything right here, right now, that I appreciate? It could be something as simple as a pretty color, a tree seen through a window, a comforting piece of music. I was talking about this present moment technique with a friend this summer. I was telling him that I struggle with worry, which is grounded in the future tense, and he said that he struggles with regret and wanting things to be better than they are. He always thought he'd be further ahead in his life than he is right now, more successful in his career and artistic endeavors, more financially stable. He told me that he sets his phone to sound a mindfulness alarm every 3 or 4 hours. When the mindfulness chime goes off, he asks himself, how are things right here, right now? He says that inevitably his answer is not bad, sometimes even pretty good. Most of the things that plague him are not present moment type things. They are tied to the past or the future. So when he assesses the present, he uncovers a bit of contentedness he would otherwise not have noticed. As Reverend Jane noted in her sermon about hope last week, humor helps. Humor can be a savior when managing difficult family dynamics. I remember looking at a photo with my mother of a Christmas dinner long ago. My stepsister and stepfather wear forced smiles. The extra strain in my stepfather's expression put there by the presence of his mother. The tension that existed between him and his mother was so palpable, it practically had its own chair at the dining room table. My mother, who did the lion's share of the holiday preparations, is smiling despite her weariness, her peacemaker arms outstretched as if to hold us all together. I saw the photo and I laughed. We look so dysfunctional. Later that year, my mother gave me a mug that said, "Let's put the fun back in dysfunctional." Humor helps. When you are struggling with something specific, sometimes a good dose of self-care can be helpful. Curl up with a novel, have coffee with a friend, walk in nature, whatever nourishes your spirit. Self-care can help get you in a space that offers a wider perspective. Seen in the grand scheme of things, maybe a given irritation can matter less than it seemed to earlier. Perhaps you are able to take things less personally, cultivate a shrug of the shoulders, oh well, kind of attitude. I wasn't sure whether I was going to have time for this or not, but I'm going to say it anyway. One of my favorite children's songs along these lines is Be Like a Duck. Maybe you stroll, maybe you fly, or maybe just float and let the river run by. When the rain starts falling, let it roll off your back. Open up your beak and go quack, quack, quack. Be like a duck. You don't have to fret. Be like a duck. You can just get wet. Be like a duck. Be like a duck, be like a duck. It's a nice little mantra for when things get tense. Of course, sometimes you can't just shrug it off, right? Sometimes things are really not okay. I remember when I was working a retail job, one of my coworkers told me about his chronic depression. He said that when ending his life started to look tempting, he would think about Odysseus and the Sea of Sirens. I have since learned that my coworker's recollection of the story was not what Homer actually wrote, but I like his retelling much better than the original, so here it is. Odysseus had to cross the Sea of Sirens. The sirens sing so beautifully that sailors are unable to stop themselves from following the sound and crashing their ships on rocky shores. Odysseus knows he has to get across the sea without succumbing to that temptation. So he has his sailors tie himself to the mast of the ship. My coworker said, "So now, when it gets bad, I tie myself to the mast. I hold on until I get through it." Those of you who are on our congregation's Facebook group will perhaps have seen the song review I posted there. Thanks to Reverend Shauna for the reference. The vocalist sings a traditional happy hymn, the one that says, "I've got joy, 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 joy down in my heart." But she sings it in a minor key, in a mournful tone. It seems odd at first, but as it progresses, you hear the sorrow building into an almost angry determination that makes some sense. She sings, "I can't understand and I can't pretend that this will all be all right in the end. So I'll try my best and lift up my chest to sing the power of this joy." It's got an angry tone to it, a determined tone. And then her dogged determination shifts as if she's found peace within despite her pain. And she sings the refrain of a different hymn. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Maybe some of you have felt something like this. When you're struggling and fighting with depression or anguish of some sort, and there's this moment of letting go. It's like surrender, not a defeated surrender, but a surrender that allows your heart to open despite the pain. You let go, find your calm center, and resolve to walk through whatever is to come with an openness of mind and spirit. Sometimes you have to sit in the sadness a long time before you find the hope. Our culture is not very good at making room for sadness, and I think in so doing, it cuts us off from sources of hope and healing. This point was made brilliantly in an animated film that was released last summer called Inside Out. The story takes us inside the mind of an 11-year-old girl named Riley. Each of her five basic emotions is personified as a character: sadness, anger, disgust, fear, and their leader, joy. Riley, the 11-year-old girl, inside whose mind all of these emotions dwell, Riley has just moved with her family to a new city, and she's having a rough time. Joy doggedly, relentlessly tries to take control to keep everything happy, happy, happy. She has to be vigilant, has to keep sadness from messing things up. In one scene, Riley's imaginary friend Bing Bong is distressed because the makeshift rocket in which he and Riley used to play when Riley was little has just been dumped over the cliff with Riley's other childhood playthings and pleasures. The loss of the rocket is a symbol of the loss of Bing Bong's lifelong friendship with Riley, and Bing Bong is distraught. Joy resolutely tries to cheer him up. She tries everything, assurances that it will all be okay, that they can fix it. She tries tickling him, making silly faces, engaging him in the distraction of a fun game, all to no effect. Then sadness walks up to Bing Bong, sits next to him, and says, "I'm sorry they took your rocket. They took something that you loved. It's gone forever." Joy is alarmed and scolds, "Sadness, don't make him feel worse." Sadness apologizes, but Bing Bong opens up, "It's all I had left of Riley." Sadness offers, "I bet you and Riley had great adventures," and listens sympathetically as Bing Bong shares some cherished memories, ending with a statement of mournful longing, "We were best friends." Sadness responds, "Yeah, it's sad." Bing Bong breaks down in tears. Sadness holds him while he cries. After a while, Bing Bong sniffles, picks himself up and says he's okay now, and leads them on the next step of their quest. Joy, bewildered, asks Sadness, "How did you do that?" Sadness says, "I don't know. He was sad, so I listened." In the end, Joy, Riley, and her whole family learn that sadness has a place of value, that if you make room for sadness and let it be what it is, you can find healing, comfort, and hope. So too for us. Our experiences of suffering and sorrow can expand our capacity to empathize with others, thus opening a doorway for the comfort of connection. It makes me think of a gentleman I know who suffers winter blues. He doesn't talk about it much, but I know this is a rough time of year for him. And yet, he is one of the sweetest, kindest people I know. He exudes warmth and empathy. A working mom I know who juggles a very busy life full of stress, anxiety, and periods of gloominess says that when she is feeling down, she texts her friends. The messages are quick and short, the responses she receives are brief, and the words from friends don't actually change her circumstances. But she feels better just knowing that her friends are out there. She is comforted by the little reminders that they care. One message she shared with me was particularly sweet. The working mom had been feeling down on herself, not good enough, and so on. And her friend texted, "Please accept my admiration of you as a temporary substitute for your self-perception. You are awesome and much loved." It is striking to me how, even though words from friends change nothing concrete vis-a-vis one's circumstances, they can still do a world of good. A woman I know who works for a cancer research center shared with me a post from a mom whose 5-year-old daughter has been defying a recurring cancer diagnosis since she was 21 months old. On the How to Help part of their website, the mom writes this: "We sincerely appreciate all of the many inquiries and offers to help us this challenging time. Many of you have already helped us so much and continue to offer more. One thing I feel compelled to note," she writes, "is that every single time you reach out to us to cheer us on, cheer us up, or say that you're thinking about us, all of it is so appreciated and spurs us on. The other more important point is that you should never stay silent because you feel your words are lacking. You are right that your words are insufficient if you expect that your words can make this all better and fixed. But we know that is an absurd goal for mere words. Wrestling and groping to put words to your heart is an action that is in itself demonstrates great love. So don't think your words have to look all pretty. Just try, and that will be a bounty to us that far surpasses words that feel so small." Lastly, she says, "Know that relationships are two-way, and I still really care about what's going on in your life. Don't hold back the details because you think your trials don't compare to ours. Yes, our reality lends perspective. But we all have joys and challenges, extraordinary and ordinary, and I want to hear about it. I want to know about the weather back home and what you did last weekend. Text me a photo every now and again of that great big sky out there or snow sticking in your hair. Even in the worst conditions, when one's child might die of cancer, comfort can be found in human connection, giving voice to the love that holds us in this web of life. Unitarian Universalist minister Kit Ketchum writes, "Hope is the clear sense that I am a part of the indistinguishable, inexhaustible stream of life. It is the fiber of the interdependent web of all existence, the connection I have to all else in life. When I have lost hope," she writes, "I have lost my sense that I belong in the universe, to the web, to life itself. But hope is strengthened in me with every reminder I receive of that connection. It may start when I first see the tomato seedling pop up in the seed tray on my windowsill. It may be triggered by the purring of the fuzzy kitten in my lap as I read. Even a stranger's greeting on the sidewalk may evoke warmth that reminds me that I do belong here. I am a part of life. Hope is found in relationship, whether with my pets, friends and family, strangers, all of nature, or with God, if you are comfortable with that word." Reverend Ketchum concludes, "When we offer hope to ourselves and to one another, with each smile, each touch, each act of kindness and understanding, we knit up the rips and tears in the interdependent web of existence and bring each other closer to spiritual wholeness." Life can be hard, even amidst the merry bustle of the holiday season. If you are struggling, my wish for you is that you are able to find that glimmer of hope that Pandora released along with sorrow and suffering. Don't let joy boss you around, make you think you should just snap out of it. She's well-intentioned, but not yet wise. Let sadness sit by you. Talk, listen, cry, let it be. We're all together in this. We all know what it is like to struggle with hard stuff. This season and every season, let us hold one another in compassion. Let us hold hope for one another. So may it be.